Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is June 1st, 2015, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews. Today we have a very special guest, and before I bring her live for you, I would like to introduce her. Susanna Ran is a yoga therapist, yoga teacher, trainer, and Ayurvedic practitioner. I hope I said that right. With 4 decades of experience in yoga, fitness, wellness, her active nature proved very strong, which led her to her first career in fitness and wellness in the U.S., England, and Israel. She is an active leader in the Yoga 2020 initiative and offers all of her services through Yoga Therapy OM. She's also here to discuss International Day of Yoga and some headlining news from overseas about the current movement within yoga. So I would love to welcome to the show, Susanna.
Namaste.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and where you came from and how you got into yoga?
Okay, well, firstly, I was born in Detroit. I was born in the Detroit Osteopathic Hospital. My dad's an osteopath, which should let you know right from the get-go that I'm a little bit different. That's already an alternative, holistic approach to the world anyway. So I was born into this world with a more alternative look at life, and also being lefty, left-handed, I also see the world a little differently, which has brought me to where I am today. I began early on, and when I was 12 years old, my mother thought I was too excitable, so she took me to my first yoga class. It was a Shivananda class, and I loved it, except that I did not like the lying in between part, the Shavasana. I was 12 years old, and I wanted to jump around and do gymnastics. So I went in that direction and got my degree in exercise science from University of Michigan and taught fitness and kickboxing and spinning for, you know, decades, ending up with all these injuries, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I said, well, okay, what do I do now? So that brought me back to yoga. And I love the physical part. I love the vinyasas. I love the Ashtanga. But over, you know, about a year or so, I started to experience injuries that I had in the past coming back. And I knew that I had to do something beyond what I was doing in the yoga practice. And that's when I turned towards yoga therapy for myself and also for others.
Well, one of the things I know I talked to you about before the show started, your biography is very long. And for our listeners out there, I want to let you know that Susanna, she has well over 1,000 hours into yoga. She has an extensive amount of training in this department and a lot of certifications as well. So I really feel like you are maybe an expert on this subject.
Well, according to Yoga Alliance, I did reach the highest level I could, which is a ERYT 500, which is an experienced yoga teacher who's had 500 hours of training or more. I went beyond that because it wasn't enough, and I was fortunate enough to train with some amazing yoga therapists, Mukunda Stiles, Leslie Kaminoff, Nishtala Devi. Nishtala Devi, for instance, she did the yoga therapy for Dean Ornish's Reversing Heart Disease program. She initiated that back in, you know, way back in the 70s when they began talking about it with their guru. They met through their guru. So I was fortunate enough to train with Nishtala and Amy Weintraub. She's doing research with Harvard. I'm also working with Rajan Narayanan and Dilip Sarkar, the founders of Life in Yoga. They have reached out to all the yoga communities in the world and put them together in a federation called the Council for Yoga Accreditation International. So everything I'm doing now is leading towards this international effort of raising the standards of yoga, yoga teachers, yoga instructors, yoga therapists. So yes, I've been in this field for many years. In fact, I got into the fitness field in college, and my degree is in exercise science, but right when the word aerobics was coined. So I've been there, and I've been teaching all these years, and I've seen all the changes, and I've seen how fitness has become, you know, a part of the landscape. And you can say to somebody, you know, you need to practice more aerobics. 30 years ago, 25 years ago, nobody knew what the term aerobics was. Just like today, more and more people are beginning to understand when you talk about yoga, they have an idea about it. And you say prana, some people might know what that is, but I'm saying that in the next 5 years, which is what the Yoga Therapy 2020 initiative is all about, we're going to see more and more awareness of what is truly the benefits of yoga. We're going to see this through, you know, raising the credentialing system for yoga teachers and yoga therapists. You're going to see more more credentialed yoga therapists, more credentialed yoga teachers, and more credentialed yoga instructors, because there's a different level of understanding, and that progression needs to be out there now. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Yoga Therapy 2020 initiative is all about. So,
well, before we jump into that, because I know that is a big movement that's going on, and I definitely want you to explain that to our listeners, can you talk a little bit about what yoga is for somebody who maybe is listening that doesn't have an idea of what yoga should be or what it is?
Okay, that's a good question. The word itself, yoga, means to join or to yoke, and it, which has many interpretations, but the bottom line is the essence of yoga is to yoke the mind, to quiet the mind, so that what comes forth is not the ego, but the true self, which is comprised of truth, intelligence, and love. That Sat Chit Ananda. So yoga, in its truest sense, is a healing modality. It is a way of being, a way of existing in truth and in peace and harmony with yourself. How you get there is by practicing quieting the mind. In fact, I'm going to make a statement that meditation leads to yoga. Now, people can say, what? Yes, meditation is the quieting, the stilling of the mind, which you must have in order for you to actually experience yoga. So if you go to a yoga class and the music is loud and the teacher asks you to look outside yourself, to look at the postures, to follow somebody else, that's really not the essence of yoga. Yoga is turning your mind inward and allowing yourself to experience discomfort, because we are all, you know, all of us have some level of discomfort. Some people can't even be on a mat and quiet their mind. That's uncomfortable. So all of these challenges that are uncomfortable for us to do, if we pull back and observe and witness and be, you know, be the witness, not the judge, then we can actually begin to experience our true self beneath the physical body, beneath the emotional body, beneath the mental body, beneath the intellectual body, beneath the spiritual body. These are all the five koshas that surrounds our true self. But that's how we make our way in the world. We're in the outer world. Our mind is going out. So if you want to experience yoga, you need to quiet your mind and turn your mind inward. So that's the distinction. When you go to a class that has yoga postures in it, it may not be a yoga class. It might look like one. You know, even the music might be yoga-like, but if the movements are abrupt and startling to the nervous system, it is really the antithesis of yoga. Yoga is quieting the mind, quieting this nervous system, quieting the thought waves, stilling the mind, allowing ourselves to connect to super consciousness.
Amazing.
Is that too out there?
No, it's perfect. It's very perfect. And, you know, it actually gives me a better understanding of yoga as well. You
Good.
Mentioned that it is used as a healing modality. Is there any proof out there right now that it does help heal? And what kind of healing can it offer?
Absolute proof. Absolute. We manifested into this body from consciousness. That's where we all began. Subtle creates the growth. We all know a seed grows into a tree. We already know that. We already know that an egg and a sperm grows into a human being. So we understand that subtle begets growth. So if you can change the subtle energies of the whole body mind spirit complex, then you can actually change the manifestation, the physical. And the studies have been, you know, the Kavalya-Adama Institute and Svayasa Institute and all of the major research institutions that have been doing research on yoga therapy for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. I mean, they've been in it for, I mean, in our current civilization, they've been in it for, you know, 80 years. So they know, they right now we have come to the point where we can actually see immediately a change in a person's energy through a system called electrophotonic imaging. Now, electrophotonic imaging has evolved into a very simple device that you can measure the gas emissions off your fingertips, and they correlate with your organ systems. And you can tell through a beautifully, you know, printable chart, you know, where the energy is blocked and where it's flowing, and you can see in an instant how a yoga practice can change that. And by the same token, you can also see incorrect yoga postures or pranayams, breath practices, or mantras, which are sound vibration, or mudras, which are hand gestures, incorrect, I mean, that don't apply to that individual, can actually make them worse. That's what they're finding. And wow. So what I'm doing is I'm bringing in one of the foremost proponents of this is Rajan Narayanan, the co-founder of Life in Yoga, who happens also to be the Secretary General of International Day of Yoga. He's also very directly involved in the Council for Yoga Accreditation International. And anyway, he's coming here to Michigan to launch the very first measured yoga therapy training here in West Bloomfield at my studio in August. So, yeah, we're beginning to bring 21st century technology, because it's taken over 100 years, 125 years actually, to develop this electrophotonic imaging. And now we can apply that to yoga postures, yoga breath practices, yoga mudras, mantras, and see how that is affecting an individual's energy. Every single organ is shown up on these charts. And they've been using it in natural medicine. Holistic practitioners have been using the EPI for at least 10 or 15 years. Now, by applying it to yoga therapy, we can see the immediate results. In fact, some recent studies have showed that headaches or, you know, sleep apnea or diabetes or COPD can all be remedied or remediated through yoga therapy, validated in the instant by this EPI, and over an 8 to 12 week program, you'll see the changes in the blood work. You know, that's pretty amazing. That's why I'm so excited about it, because now we can have an immediate, in our hand, measurable tool to show people, if you do this, this is what happens to you. And if you do this for a long enough time, it's going to stay that way. You know,
that is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. That's why I'm so excited about it. It's like I started my yoga therapy training in 2007. Let's backpedal a little bit. You know, back in 2003, after being in the fitness world for many years and, like I said, racking up injuries, in 2003 I was given an MS diagnosis. My first sign that I had something wrong was that I had this. When I dropped my chin to my chest, I got a zing electrical impulse down to my heels and back up again. That's not good. Then I had parts of my body that were kind of like seizing up. And I, you know, of course I knew something was wrong, and I did not take any Western medicine because I know that there are side effects, and I already was into yoga, so I figured there must be a yoga way to do this. And so that's the approach I took. I only went through natural medicine. I've used many different modalities. I use acupuncture. I use something called neuromodulation technique. I use my breath practices. I've got fire infrared saunas, which helps to, you know, detoxify you. I used every natural modality that I could. I have no signs of it. In fact, my neurologist says I don't even have to go to see him anymore. So in 2003, when I got that diagnosis, what did I do? I went to study yoga I got my first certification, or my first course. I won't call it a certification because there are no certifications yet. We haven't gotten there yet. People who say that they're a certified yoga teacher or a certified yoga therapist, we haven't gotten there yet. That's what's happening now. We're at that stage now. Yoga Alliance has been around for 20 years. They register people who have completed a certain number of hours of training. That's all they do. They don't certify anybody. But now we're building a certification program, an international certification program, because it turns out the Prime Minister of India is a yogi. He came into office a year ago, and his agenda is peace on earth, brotherhood for man. And being that he has the largest democracy in the world, he's got a very, very strong bully pulpit, as they say. So I'm very, very excited that this is where we are right now, that I'm at the right place at the right time. It's taken me 40 years to get here, or more. I've been on this planet a little bit longer than that. But anyway, so it's very exciting that it is measurable. In fact, Svayasa Institute got a $4.2 million grant with MD Anderson to study the effects of yoga therapy on breast cancer patients, whether they could, they could leave the hospital sooner, whether they could have increased utilization, where they would have, that they would return back to a normal life. So that was the parameters that they're looking for. They're not even looking for the underlying, to see something on an energetic level yet. But that's where we are right now. If you can change the underlying energy, the subtle energy in the physical body, then the physical body will change eventually. And this is what I've discovered. I've been teaching the same students over the last 10 years at the Sports Club of Novi, and I can tell you I have seen amazing changes in their physical bodies and their minds. And they'll tell you. One of my students, when she came, she had terrible arthritis in her hands and her fingers, and she couldn't peel potatoes or peel apples. And she came to my class three times a week. She continues to practice on her own, which means she's practicing daily. She's aware of her posture. She's aware of how she holds her hands. And she told me she's completely has no arthritis in her hands anymore. And she can peel potatoes and apples and sit on her heels and do all the things. And when she, in her early, her late 60s, early 70s, she couldn't. Now, 10 years later, she's not 80, she's still in her 70s, but so she probably was about 65 when I met her. She's able to do things she couldn't do 10 years ago. I see it every single day where, people in their 60s and 70s and 80s are changing, because they're consistently changing the subtle energy, which ultimately changes the physical. And that's how yoga works. We are a combination of consciousness, which is intelligence, and matter, which is how you do things. Those are the two things. And if you want to put it into female, male, female, the male part of us is the consciousness, intelligence. The female part of us is what knows what to do with it. Just like the sperm. Sperm goes into it can't do anything. It goes into the egg, but the female body and the womb is what makes it happen. So you have consciousness, which is pure intelligence, which we call Purusha, or you can call it God, or you can call it whatever you want. And then you would have goddess, which is Shakti, which is, which is the how-to. You can't have one without the other. So they work together. So we are that. We have an innate ability to heal. We know that. If we cut ourselves, we heal. We don't really, if you protect it and keep it clean, it'll heal on its own if it's not too deep. So the same thing is, if you change things at the subtle level, eventually they will manifest at the physical level. And that's what yoga therapy is all about. And that's what we're finding. COPD, diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, obesity, anxiety, depression, all of these are being tested and validated through yoga therapy right now.
That's amazing, especially, that something so small can change something so big. That definitely is an amazing resource.
One final thing is that last year Harvard had been doing a five-year study, Harvard, they got into yoga, you know, with the relaxation response, what they called it, relaxation response, which was really came from yoga. They discovered that yoga and meditation changes your DNA. That's what I'm saying. And how does it change your DNA? Because it changes the how your body receives the information and what it does with it. If you tense up, if you're tense all day long, you can only imagine you're collecting tension, 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 tension. 98% of the pain that we experience in our bodies is tension-related. Dr. John Sarno, New York University School of Medicine, Rusk Institute, has been studying tension myositis syndrome for 40 years, the mind-body connection. And if you can release the tension and can lower, quiet your thought waves, quiet your nervous system, and do that consistently, that's where healing begins. And it's been studied by Harvard, MD Anderson, and we're going to continue to study because now that we have this new the new use of the EPI, we can now immediately go in and look at what particular practices for each individual, because not everybody is going to respond the same way to the same yoga therapy. You could have three or four people with a headache, and the cause of the headache is totally different, and you wouldn't know that unless you immediately you could read it through the EPI and say, well, this one, you know, this is caused by muscle tension in the low back. This one's got, you know, tension in the shoulders. This is caused by something else. And you would do different things for that, for each individual to alleviate the blockage in those particular areas of the body. So that's the value now of this EPI, is that we can now pinpoint where people have issues, and we can target and fine-tune yoga therapy for individuals for their particular issues. And this is exactly what yoga therapy was always about. You know, Krishnamacharya, the grandfather of yoga, who was of modern yoga. I mean, and he was born in the 1800s. He died in, I think, in the 50s, 1950s. But he had his students... I think he actually died later than I apologize. His students were Patabi Joyce, Iyengar, Indra Devi, and Desika Chahar. And each one of those had a pillar of modern yoga. Patabi Joyce brought Ashtanga here to the United States with David Williams. Iyengar came here and he's built Iyengar all over the place. Indra Devi was in Europe. And then Desika Chahar, his son, is now, you know, he travels the world to this day with Vini Yoga, which is about, it's more about individualizing yoga therapy. So that's where we're heading. The majority of the population of the United States is over age 60. We have lots of problems coming up, and people moving towards Medicare, they're not going to be able to afford it. I'm talking about Medicare, will not be able to afford. We know that. If we can bring in therapies that are actually cheap, inexpensive, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money to learn a breath practice and to be, you know, to see a yoga therapist on a regular, you know, until you have your practices down, you know, it's going to really shift the burden away for Medicare, you know, and that's part of the program too, because Medicare gives doctors an incentive. If you can lower your costs of your patients, we'll split that with you. They have X amount of dollars for COPD, for instance, and if a doctor takes on COPD in a patient and he doesn't use expensive medicine, and he is able to help this person through a particular breath practice called Bastrika, which it has demonstrated to, you know, kids get people off their oxygen canisters. I mean, it's already been established. So if we can teach people these practices, we can help people with COPD get off or lower their medication. Some people may be able to get off their medication. And this is going to help, you know, the Medicare, you know, from going bankrupt. So that's why another reason why the Yoga Therapy 2020 initiative is so important, because the more people we can train with the correct practices that are being standardized today by the Council for Yoga Accreditation International, which is comprised of all the research institutions in the world that have been practicing and teaching and researching yoga for, you know, decades. They're the ones that are now stepping up and saying, okay, these are the things that are working and these are the things that are not working. If you want to be registered as a yoga instructor are certified as a yoga instructor, certified as a yoga teacher, certified as a yoga therapist. These are the things you're going to have to know. And this is a test you can take. You'll get certified, and then you can be international certified. And this is where we're moving.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Yoga Therapy 2020 Initiative. What is that movement?
Well, that is, I just mentioned the Council for Yoga Accreditation International, which was established in 2012, came together and decided what are the points that need to be brought forth in the body of yoga wisdom. Let's cut the wheat from the chaff, they say, and get the real essence, the real nuggets. And the one thing that they all agreed upon was that yoga practices must abide by the Yoga Sutras. The Yoga Sutras, the essence of the Yoga Sutras, which there's confusion about when they're written. Rajan believes they were written 3000 BC because somebody who wrote a commentary about that, Vyasa, happened to live in that time period, so it had to be that early. Anyway, the Yoga Sutras, all of the body of yoga wisdom back in those days, thousands of years ago, came to these 195 aphorisms of what yoga is. And it basically was a kind of like a guidebook of what you do to dismantle your mind, so to speak, so that your ego is not blocking your truth and allowing your healing and your intelligence and your bliss to come forward. So basically the bottom line is yoga practices must be calming and quieting the mind first and foremost, that the mind must be turned inward, not going outward. So the yoga classes out there where they're pushing you to do a posture, or they're barking orders at you, or they're not even giving you any instruction and having you go on your own, and you don't even know what you're doing, so you have to look outside yourself to get the posture, that's not what the Council of Yoga Accreditation wants. They say this is not yoga. This is maybe Indian calisthenics or it is yoga-like, but it's not yoga. Yoga is turning your mind inward, quieting your mind, quieting your nervous system. So that's the bottom line. So a new yoga instructor, what I'm doing is I'm taking my yoga school, which I'm registered with the Yoga Alliance. I'm changing my curriculum so that I now will be more in line with the Council of Yoga Accreditation International. And I broke it down to 200 hours, 300 hours, 500 hours. It'll still fit in line with Yoga Alliance, but the guidelines are stricter, I believe, because again, they're saying right from the get-go, don't even consider yourself a yoga class if you're not turning the mind inward. That is first and foremost. So all the classes that I teach, whether it's going to be the yoga instructor or the yoga teacher or the yoga therapist, that's the first thing. Is this practice turning the mind inward? So when I restructure my program, which I'm doing now, the yoga instructor will learn the anatomy. They'll learn how to cue the anatomy. They'll learn the primary series of Ashtanga yoga. They'll learn the secondary series. It'll be very asana-centric, with the focus being on alignment and cueing, because 80% of the benefit of a yoga posture comes from the alignment of the spine. You can't just get into the basic shape of the posture and get the benefit of the posture. So you could have two people in triangle, and one is doing it, kind of doing it, and the other one is actually in an alignment. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody looks the same, because one person's alignment is different than the other person's, which means some people may not be able to go as far into the posture because they're tight. But it doesn't mean they can't have good alignment. I have a number of students in my classes. I've seen this lately. I've been in the fitness world for a long, long time, and I have never seen so much scoliosis that I'm seeing these days. And you can correct scoliosis. You can correct it in 1 year, I mean, depending on how far out of alignment you are, but they've seen huge changes one arm balance is on the side that your body, your scoliosis is. But anyway, getting back to some of my students who have terrible scoliosis, two of them in particular have the most beautiful alignment. It's because they get the energetic, they get the principles of extending from the fingers to the toes, and even though their body might be having curves in it, they still have an energetic extension, which will eventually guide the physical body in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Thoughts become things. The law of attraction, it's the same thing. Thoughts become things. If you can create a vibration or a subtle energy change, the physical will manifest. And this is what exactly what I'm saying. So my yoga instructors will be trained to understand, be able to cue alignment and be able to look at somebody and know where their imbalances are. The yoga teacher will have a little bit more understanding about, they'll understand Ayurveda because we'll open up the books on Ayurveda and how it applies to yoga postures and how they can create yoga flows to quiet the nervous system, to maybe increase the flow of the lymph or to reduce inflammation. And then the yoga therapist will be able to have a world of technology, of techniques that they can employ for their clients that they're going to be learning and validating through the yoga therapy training. So I hope that answered your question. If it didn't, then ask me more.
It did. I know you just talked about yoga training and that you're going to be teaching, instructors and teachers. How can one go about that? You know, if there is an instructor out there that would like to learn more about your training program and would like to take your training program, how can they go about that?
Oh, well, they can go on my website, www.yogatherapy-om.com, and you just click on the Contact Us page and just, you know, give me some information, who you are, and then we start a conversation and we'll find out, you know, whether it's right for you or whether, you know, what, you know, you have to be ready because it is a focus and you have to want to go in that direction. And I'll give an example. In my current yoga teacher training program, I have somebody who came from disability, bedridden, because she had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and all sorts of issues, came, and I said to her, if you're serious about this, come and start taking the training, and we'll go at your pace, and over time you'll see. So I have her in my class as well as a doctor. So to have these two people at opposite ends of the pole in the same yoga teacher training, it's pretty amazing. Because we've seen it, and both of them, you know, are moving towards balance. The one who was bedridden, she now has a job, and she's practices every day, and she can get through the whole practice, and she's lost like 30 or 40 pounds. It's amazing. And you want to hear what helped her lose the weight? A breath practice called Kapalabhati, the breath of fire. That has been used for diabetes, and this is, you know, it's, again, we're going to be validating this. So getting back to how someone can get involved is that, you know, we have International Yoga Day is coming up, International Day of Yoga, I should say, it's IDY, International Day of Yoga. It's coming up on June 21st. It's the first one ever when Prime Minister Modi was elected last May. First thing he did, went to the UN and said, I want this. It took him a couple of months, but December, he got in May. By December of 2014, he had almost all the countries in the world agreeing in one fell swoop to, yes, we need an International Day of Yoga. So he's really kind of behind all of this, but, you know, he came from behind. We've been doing this for all these years, you know, in the United States, and, you know, we've taken, you know, the yoga, and we've done our thing with it. And he steps up to the plate and said, you know what? There's much more to yoga than you guys are revealing, and let's bring the real yoga forward. And that's what's happening. So I'm aligning myself with that. If people want to come to the International Day of Yoga celebration at my studio, you can, you know, again, click on my website and do register for it, because my studio is in my home, even though I have a large, you know, large studio and a large backyard that backs up to the West Bloomfield, the the walking path, the bike path. So it's in a, it's a very unique location. It's a large studio. It's, in fact, it's bigger than some of the yoga studios that I've taught out of. So we are having a celebration on International Day of Yoga from 8:30 in the morning to 5. There'll be classes going all day. There'll be people to answer questions. Some people who might be interested in coming might be people who are have injuries and illness, and they want to find out how can they be a part of the study, the yoga study. And some people who are yoga teachers say, well, I'd like to be involved in the study. I'd like to be a yoga therapist. And some, you know, so there's all different ways that people can enter into the yoga world and receive benefits for themselves. So a good place to start is on International Day of Yoga.
And I just want to point out, these classes are free, correct?
Correct, correct.
So,
yes.
I mean, you know, you can attend these classes throughout the day, and it's absolutely free. And
free.
You can get more information about yoga and, you know, how it can help you. So that's definitely a very good incentive to come out that day and join this celebration. And that's on June 21st. And it will be taking place at your studio in West Bloomfield, correct?
Correct. Right.
Awesome.
It's on the internet.
Yes, I do want to recommend that if somebody is interested, you can visit Susanna's website at yogatherapy-om.com. I also want to mention that you're more than welcome to go to bodymindspiritguide.com. All of the information is on the back of the magazine, and it's posted on there. Or if you are here local to Michigan, our June issue is already out on the stands, and you can pick one up at over 1,400 locations. So definitely pick one up and definitely read on this, because this is a big movement.
It absolutely is.
An International Day of Yoga, I mean, that is a big thing, especially for the United States. So I would definitely highly recommend anybody look into that. Now, I know you have so much going on currently with the 2020 initiative and the yoga celebration. What is your current journey into yoga therapy? What are you currently working on as far as your personal self?
Well, every day you have to practice. Not one day goes by that you don't. It doesn't mean that you do this. An hour practice. But for me, I practice Kapalabhati daily. Sometimes high blood pressure runs in my family, and you know, when I went into menopause, my blood pressure kind of got wacky, and I'd go to the doctor, and so I'd say, wait a minute, and I would do my alternate nostril breathing, and I dropped my blood pressure 40 points. In an instant. So once you realize that, you say, oh, so if I practice alternate nostril breathing every day, then I can keep my blood pressure down. And that is the truth. And we will be able to, A, see that on the EPI. We'll be able to see that long-term through blood. You know, you'll see it daily. That's one of the things you can change. Heart rate and blood pressure, you can change in an instant and do it yourself. So rather than taking a pill every day, you can practice alternate nostril breathing. So I practice alternate nostril breathing. We also have tend towards weight problems in my family, so I also practice Kapalabhati, the breath of fire, that keeps my lymphatic system clean. Obviously, I practice asana, sun salutations. I love headstands, but I never put my head on the mat. And I teach people how to do headstands without putting your head on the mat. And in fact, I mean, even as old as 80, 90 years old, I'm teaching people how to do this. You know, people are reluctant to do things, to try things, because they say, oh, I can't do that. And sometimes they don't even want to try. My mother, she passed away last May, unfortunately. She started coming to my yoga practices, you know, in my studio when she was in her mid-80s. And my father was, you know, closer to 90. And I could see the change in them. She went to the hospital, had a elective procedure that ended up really damaging her, and she was in the hospital for close to 80 days. So when she came out of the hospital, she couldn't even get up off the floor. She couldn't even pick herself up. But within a month, I had her back in what is called a dolphin posture, which is when you're on your forearms and lifting your hips over your head. That particular posture has been studied for rotator cuff injuries, and it works. And that she had, you know, in the hospital, she was all curled up, you know, in her bed for like, you know, close to 80 days. So her shoulders were all rounded. Her back was all rounded. And, of course, when your back and shoulders are rounded, it puts a lot of pressure on your rotator cuff muscles. And that's how people, a lot of people get injured because of improper alignment of their spine. And when I was able to help her, you know, lift her sternum and draw her shoulders back and do this posture, her pain went away, even though she'd been in pain for years. So when I tell this to my students who are reluctant to do it, I'll say, let me show you. I have a picture of my 87-year-old mother doing this posture. And they see it and they go, oh, okay, if she can do that, I can do it. So sometimes, you know, that helps to have an image like that. But, you know, bottom line is yoga is the ultimate healing modality. There is nothing other than that. Everything else is just a, I don't know. It's not real. It's not the reality. It's material. And you can't change energy with material. You have to change energy by changing energy. So this is what's going to happen. Over the next 5 years, you're going to see my effort. You ask what I do. I practice my, you know, the breath practice. I practice the postures that I need to practice on a regular basis. I have a sacroiliac joint imbalance. I was injured one day. I was swimming, and I was standing on the side of the pool, and I was startled, and, you know, my right leg stayed on the deck, and my left leg went down, and I came straight down on my right sits bone. And I must have done something major because, you know, that was a very big impact. And it happened, and I was in pain for years until I learned a very specific yoga practice from the greatest yogi that I've met, is Mukunda Stiles, and it had healed me. And that's what I practice. Anytime I have any imbalance, I go right to the postures, the practices that I know are going to move that stagnation out and take away my pain. So to answer your questions, I practice the SI series. I practice, headstands, breath practices on a daily basis.
Wow. I know that we're starting to get a little short on time. We're in the last segment of the show, and we're down to about maybe 15 minutes. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about the 2020 Initiative, International Day of Yoga, or anything that you're working on currently?
Well, what I am working on currently is the initiative reorganizing, restructuring my current program to fit with these new guidelines. That's really what I'm working on, and training yoga teachers, yoga therapists. We have the upcoming course, like I said, Rajan Narayanan, the co-founder of Life in Yoga, is bringing in the EPI. I will also be getting one too. I'm going to get trained with it next week, actually. He's coming in August 27th to the 30th. We have a 4-day training. So anybody who is a current yoga teacher who's interested in going towards yoga therapy is invited to come for the training, to take the training. There's a limited number of spots, which is why I want people to register for it. But if the person is serious and says, you know, I know there's more to yoga than what I've been teaching, and I'd like to go deeper, and I'd really like to work with individuals in helping them. And there's going to be a lot of people out there that need it. Like I said, the majority of the population is over age 60. We're going to be needing more and more yoga therapists. So any yoga teacher out there who's been practicing, wants to study, you know, yoga therapy, the latest and greatest, which is using the electrophotonic imaging, they're welcome to, you know, contact me through my website and let me know that they want the training. I'll talk to them, meet with them, and see if they're, you know, a candidate for that particular course. Anybody who's interested and who's not a yoga teacher yet or yoga instructor and says, you know what, I like the practice yoga, or I'd like to learn, they can come to the yoga instructor training course. I've had people who are just practicing yoga, and some people who never practice yoga, who have, maybe they practice through videos and things like that, start into my program, and by the end of the program, they've basically, their alignment is great, their flow is great, they understand how to teach, they understand how to help other people. So it doesn't really matter where you are, anybody can start learning to be a yoga instructor. or a yoga teacher or a yoga therapist, but it depends on, of course, you know, where you're at. So if you've never practiced, I would definitely start practicing. I have we now have classes starting at my home studio after June 21st, and people who are interested in finding out how they can get into the yoga experience can come to the International Day of Yoga, and or they can contact me through my website and take it from there. So I hope that, I mean, basically I'm focused, my focus now is on the training of top quality yoga instructors, yoga teachers, and yoga therapists. So again, so people should know that there's a difference between a yoga instructor and a yoga teacher. And this will be more and more evident over the next 5 years. That's why we call it the Yoga Therapy 2020 Initiative. A, because 2020 implies perfect vision, and B, because it's going to take us about 5 years to get to see this really manifest, where you're going to see more and more, quality trained yoga leader, yoga instructors, yoga teachers, yoga therapists. So.
Awesome.
I'm happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk about yoga. I'm there.
Well, I do want to mention we did have somebody who was listening in the chat room, and this individual said that it seems like they may be a little uncomfortable doing yoga in a room full of people.
Right.
How is your classes and sessions different from others in the sense of making people feel comfortable with doing these postures and so forth? And how is it different for somebody who's a complete beginner?
Okay, well, basically, you take a person from where they're at. I'm not going to try to apply an advanced posture flow to somebody who's never practiced yoga. If somebody has never, ever practiced and they feel uncomfortable, then they should come for private sessions for a couple of, maybe 3, 4, 5 times just until they feel comfortable. And then join a small class. They could come, again, depending on where they live. I mean, I'm out right off of M5 and Pontiac Trail, so it's very convenient to come here. That's what I would suggest. Or they could go to, the Sports Club of Novi if they're close to that, because I really feel that they have some really good quality teachers there. They get it. They understand, for the most part, that yoga is about quieting the nervous system and not flowing around in fancy postures just to make the ego feel good. That's basically what I'm seeing out there in the Western world, is that a lot of the yoga practices, and I was there too, before I was injured, before my injuries came forward, because they'd already been there. But I was enamored with the choreography. And I wanted to do just that. In fact, when my friend said to me, come with me to, California, there's the first convention, a seminar on yoga therapy in 2007. And I said, oh, no, I just want to work with choreography. And then I went and said, oh, my goodness, I need to be here because this is going to heal me. Even I was ignorant that what I was doing to myself was not so good. I mean, I figured, this is just another form of exercise. I came to yoga from that perspective, being a physical educator, and it's taken me this time to get to the healing benefit. And where I'm at now, after all the injuries, I didn't tell you, I had plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, shin splints. My patellas, my kneecaps had twisted out of alignment. My sacroiliac joint was damaged and injured. I have 6 herniated discs and an MS diagnosis, and I have no pain, and I don't take medicine. And it's only because of the healing practices of yoga that I've been able to do this. So anybody who's interested, they contact me, and I'll start you out with a very, very simple program for you. I start people on the floor. Lying down. Everybody can lie down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. So if you're brand new to yoga, I'm going to start you where you're a place where you're comfortable. And then we're going to slowly begin to move with the breath and understand it's all about observing your sensations as you move and breathe, and letting go. And then you begin to develop what you need based on your what your teacher is teaching you in terms of the yoga postures, the the experienced yoga teacher, I should say, somebody who understands anatomy or you know, understands alignment, who understands a little bit more than just how to put together postures and call them out. That's not yoga. That's more like Indian calisthenics. So, you know, if anyone's interested, I'm more than willing and love to talk to them. And if they're not in my area, I could help find somebody else that is maybe right for them to help them get started.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure that those that are listening, especially that particular individual who's in our chat room right now, appreciates that. So thank you so much for answering that question.
I hope to meet them on International Yoga Day. I mean, if they're interested, I'd love to meet them and talk to them about this. And maybe they might even be interested in being part of a study. If somebody has COPD or diabetes and they're really out of shape, and I mean, I get it. It's like, what can I do? We can begin to shift that very, very quickly and very easily with the right practices. It's not all posture. In fact, yoga, there are many yoga lineages there that have nothing to do with posture. There's the yoga of karma. Karma yoga is people who give of themselves to serve others. That's a form of yoga. Then there's bhakti yoga, people who see, you know, the divine in everybody and work through the divine. You know, the divine in them is coming out, and they're being led by that. That's bhakti yoga, devotional yoga. There's kriya yoga, where you're all cleansing practices, but it's all about inner focus and not necessarily about posture, which is just the physical part of it. So, you know, people should understand that. One of my teachers had a brain tumor. He was a yogi, had a brain tumor, and he was healed by meditation. He did have surgery. It was a benign tumor. They did remove it. Because in Ayurveda is the oldest health system on the planet. They were also the first surgeons. So when people think natural medicine has nothing to do with surgery, they're incorrect. Because Ayurveda, if it's a certain size tumor, it must be cut out. Because it probably will grow faster than the subtle energies can change it. So in certain circumstances, yes, you do have your surgery. It is one of the eight limbs of Ayurveda anyway. Or the eight branches, I should say, of Ayurveda, surgery is. So, you know, surgery, again, viable for certain people for certain things. But if we can take somebody, no matter where they're at, whether they have COPD or diabetes, or they have issues on their ankles or in their knees, or they've had compression fractures, anybody, we can start them on the path of healing. It doesn't matter where they're at. So I hope that I see these people coming on International Day of Yoga to my celebration, to our celebration.
Well, thank you. Is there any final thoughts or information or messages you would like to give to our listeners today?
Well, just to have them go to my website, because we did spend some time putting it together so that it was going to be addressing this change towards the yoga therapy initiative. Anybody can go onto my website and read about it and contact us and learn about it, and hopefully we'll see them, you know, coming to the International Day of Yoga celebration, or maybe wanting to be part of the study as a subject, or maybe wanting to be part of the training group that will be conducting the therapy on the subjects. So I highly recommend people go to the website, read about it, contact us, and let us know. The final thing I want to say is that I am working with Dr. Marcia Billis. She's a DO, and she brought integrated medicine into her practice. And then I met her through one of my yoga classes, and she said, this is what I want to do. So now she's working with me in yoga therapy, OM, and she's going to be working with doctors and helping them facilitate bringing yoga therapy into their practices. That's going to be her role. So that's what I just want to say, is that we, you know, plus, you know, she sees some of my clients or her patients. It's a great synergy.
Wow.
So
and that's amazing that even doctors are recognizing this. Those that practice, you know, traditional medical fields are recognizing the importance of yoga.
Well, not only that, but Rajan Narayanan and Dr. Sarkar. Dr. Sarkar is a vascular surgeon who ended up with a heart attack at age 53, even though he had been eating right, exercising, and doing everything you were supposed to do, and he got a heart attack. And he said, how did this happen? I have no genetics in my family. It's all stress. So he went heavily into Ayurveda, and he formed Life and Yoga with Dr. Rajan Narayanan, the two of them, and they have the first American Medical Association course in yoga therapy that doctors can take for credit. Doctors can get 22 continuing medical education credits in yoga therapy through Life and Yoga. And they're the only one, and that's what I'm saying. I feel so fortunate that I'm working so closely with them. I'm an advisor to them, and that's why this is a big initiative that we're working on, is we're going to help transform, bring yoga back to what it was supposed to be, the healing modality that it is, because it's all about self-healing. So Dr. Rajan's coming in, and Dr. Sarkar, maybe he'll come in as well once we get this thing off the ground. And it's just very, very exciting. I'm very, very excited. So that's what I'm going to be doing. You asked me what I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing. And I'm going to be working with them, creating yoga instructors, yoga teachers, yoga therapists, getting the studies going, publishing the studies. That's another thing. We also want to publish the studies to show people, so more and more people get on board and say, you know what? I don't have to take that pill. I can do X, Y, and Z. Now, the pharmaceutical companies are not going to like this. Not too much. Not too much. So, but the good news is that the AMA did recognize they had to do something, and they accepted the curriculum of Life and Yoga, and they've been teaching doctors over the last 5 years, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. I think they've actually trained at least over maybe a couple hundred doctors already throughout the country. So Life and Yoga is another website people can look at to see, and I'm linked to it through my webpage. So this is where it's happening. These are the people who are leading the charge for bringing yoga back to what it was intended to be and getting it into the medical system, the unified model, so that yoga therapy will be a part of your treatment. When you go in to see your doctor, hopefully in the next 5 years, he'll say, okay, you'll do some assessment. He'll say, here, I'm gonna give you over to the yoga therapist. That's our intention, to bring yoga therapy into the medical model so that it's accessible to everybody, whether it's through their insurance or whether it's through a yoga therapist directly through private. So that's the initiative, and that's who I'm working with, Life and Yoga. And it's very, very, very exciting. Very exciting.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being here today and allowing me to interview you. And thank you for bringing this wonderful information to our listeners and to Body, Mind, Spirit Guide.
Thank you.
We greatly appreciate it. I just want to give out your information one last time for any of the listeners out there. You can go to www.yogatherapy-om.com for more information about International Day of Yoga. That celebration will be June 21st, so it's coming up in about 3 weeks. And that day they will be offering free classes from 8:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. at night. And this will be taking place in West Bloomfield, Michigan. So definitely visit that website to get more information and join the celebration. I also want to recommend anybody go to bodymindspiritguide.com, where you can actually take a look at the ad and the article within the guide for more information. And you can also go to bodymindspiritradio.com, and all of Susanna's contact information is up there as well. I want to thank you again, Susanna, for joining us today, and hopefully we will be able to interview you again in the future about this movement and even more about yoga to come.
Well, yes, actually, as we get closer to the training day for the Measured Yoga Therapy in August, I'd love to talk to you again on the radio and you know, see, you know, we get more people interested. Yeah, they definitely read the Body, Mind, Spirit guide this month, because if you're not reading it every month, I'm sure they are. But it does have a lot of information in it about International Day of Yoga, the Measured Yoga Therapy course, whether, you know, yoga will transcend, you know, the West, because we do have great influence on the world. And, yeah, so it's jam-packed with information, Body, Mind, Spirit guide for June. It's all about International Day of Yoga.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you everybody out there who has listened. Please share the link of this show with those that you know that maybe teach yoga or interested in yoga. And I want to wish everyone a wonderful rest of the day, and until next time, our next show will be and it will be Unveiling the Psychic Truth, so stay tuned for that.
Wow.
Thank you so much, and everybody have a wonderful day.
Namaste.